good, and he is greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank Pastor Robinson for inviting me to speak again before the people of God on today. I have truly enjoyed the service. Has been truly inspiring. It made me think of some things that when I was growing up in my native state of Ohio, as a little boy, my mother would gather the children in the house and we would sit around the breakfast table on these cold winter mornings. And I don't know what you guys ate, but we had oatmeal, malt meal, and cream of wheat. Yeah. But more often than not, she would serve oatmeal. And she would sit us down and each one would get a bowl full of oatmeal. And with this oatmeal, she would put milk, sugar, butter, and sometimes honey. And as we sat and looked at our bowl, with that mixture on the oatmeal, with our spoons in our hands, she would say, stir it up. So from time to time, we need to stir it up.
All right, yeah.
Like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. We don't have to walk around with our heads down. Sometimes we need to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Yeah. But God is our strength, our present help in the time of trouble. So I'm asking you today, I encourage you every day of your life, stir up that gift that's within you.
Yeah.
You are victorious. The devil is defeated.
Yeah.
So walk around with your head held up high and give God the praise. I want to thank my family for tuning in on today. And I want to thank again, friends and family that have tuned in to this service. Pastor Robinson and Sister Robinson told me last time that I spoke that my sermon was a little short. So I'm going to try to go a minute longer this time. So bear with me, if you please. I would like for you to draw your hearts and minds today to the book of Luke. It's a very familiar passage. I won't be bore you long. The book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 37. The book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 37. And it reads as follows. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box. Verse 38, and she stood at the feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. But I want to focus on verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. I would like to use as a topic today, what's in your alabaster box? What is in your alabaster box? But before I talk about this lady that was in this particular city and at this particular house and at this particular time, I would like to talk about what led to this time and moment in this story. For you see, everything has other parts connected to it to bring about a clearer picture of what has actually taken place. So if you go back with me in the same book to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures. I don't have time for that. But I will try to touch on a few points to bring it to the place where I would like for you to be in this sermon. Now, starting from the fourth chapter all the way to the seventh chapter, the story talks about Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. But we're going to get to the woman in just a minute. But it talks about our risen Savior after he came out of the wilderness, being tempted of Satan, being tempted of the devil. When he came back into the city, we notice that in the fourth chapter, all the way to the seventh chapter, the things that took place regarding the activity surrounding our Lord and Savior. Now, we notice that when he came into the city, it has been announced of his presence. And what made his presence obvious were the things that he was doing as far as the healing, casting out devils, raising the sick, or raising the dead and healing the sick. For example, when you look at Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick with a fever, but God, Christ delivered him. Amen. So from the time that he came into his ministry, what took place was that his fame went abroad. We have to remember that there has been a considerable length of time that from the time he started his ministry and going from city to city, that he reached the place where he was at the Pharisee's house, but never, let me digress just a little bit more. We need to pay attention to the things that were acknowledged of, the work that Christ had done, all the healing and all the deliverances, all the things that has been noted in the Gospels. But I would also like to mention before I get too far in this sermon, that you'll find this same passage in the book of Mark, in the book of Matthew, and in the book of John, which all gives a different rendition of this woman with an alabaster box. But the story that intrigued me the most about it was the one in the book of Luke. But we have to bear in mind, if you will, that from the time he started his ministry, that people were listening to and watching and taking notes as to what Jesus was doing. You remember the woman who had the issue of blood, how she touched the hem of his garment. You remember the rich young ruler who came to him and said, hey, what's going on? You remember Zacchaeus who climbed the tree just to see Jesus as he made his way through the city. So what I'm saying is that as he did his ministry, as he walked, fame, his name, and the things he did went abroad. My point is this. When you go back to the fourth chapter, and he came into Jerusalem, and he came into the temple, a book was handed to him. And it was the book of Isaiah. And the book read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, I want you to pay attention to the wording of this scripture. To preach the gospel to the poor. So now when you hear the word gospel, immediately what comes to mind is the word good news. Is that correct? Yes. So when you hear the word good news, we understand that in none understand that in hearing the word, we know the word good gospel means good news. And then when you hear good news, that means we are being informed about something good. And as we are being informed about something good, then quite naturally, we become reformed from the good news. Is that right? So throughout the time that he began his ministry and he began to preach good news, or the gospel, or the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let it be known that people from city to city and town to town and place to place heard the gospel. For we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that right? Yes. So he, Jesus, as he did his ministry from place to place and from town to town, people heard of the good news. They heard of the miracles. They heard of all the things that centered around Jesus. For the Bible says his fame went abroad. How many of us today can testify of the good news, the gospel? I, for one, can only testify that when I was a sinner, when I was out there without Christ, yet somebody took the time to share the gospel with me. They shared the good news. And I believe that some of you can have the same testimony. For we're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Testimony. So it took someone to share the gospel, the good news, for me to grow and desire Christ. Is that right? So we need to understand, as we walk through this scripture from the fourth chapter, the fifth chapter, the sixth, up to the seventh chapter, that a certain amount of time has already elapsed. That the gospel had been preached, that the word had been sent, and that it fell on the ears of those who were willing to hear it. For we read in the word, many are called, but few are chosen. And the word call means the call to salvation. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So as I walk slowly to the story that I'm about to talk about briefly, we come now to a city where Jesus has been invited to the house of the Pharisees. And we notice that as Jesus accepted the invitation, he goes in and sits down to fellowship with these Pharisees. But unbeknownst to him, there was a woman in that city. It has been known that during these times that when people sat at meat in Jerusalem, that they left their doors wide open from time to time. And you could walk by and see someone fellowshipping and eating and dining in their house. So the picture that is now being presented in this scripture, the door was wide open. And as people passed by, they could see Jesus sitting down in the Pharisee's house, eating and talking and whatever, anything that was going on. But yet this woman, and I would like for you, if you will, to place your feet in her shoes. Now you have heard the word, now you desire of the Lord. But we have known in the Bible that it reads that our minds have now been transformed by the word of God. For in the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter, we know that our minds have been what? Renewed. Is that right? It talks about we need to renew our minds. Is that right? Daily in the scripture. So we have to understand that this woman of this particular city heard about Jesus, heard about the stories, heard about the miracles, heard about the things that centered around our risen Savior, that centered around Jesus of Nazareth. There was a story already developed in her mind that if I could meet this man. Yeah. So now you have to look at the story of this woman. The Bible says that she was a sinner. Now you might think by reading that she is still in sin. But why would the Bible read that she was a sinner? we have to look at the word was. That means it's a verb. That means it's something that changed about her lifestyle, that she was not in that previous condition, but that she was a sinner. How many of us know that we are saved by the word of God? We are delivered by the word of God. Is that right? Yeah. So the word that she heard, the things that she finally saw for herself when Jesus came to the city, she already was convinced and believed that she was God wrapped in the flesh. She was God, our Savior, Lord Jesus. So the Bible says she was a sinner.
Yeah.
By saying that, she was able to, or took up the courage to be able to walk into his house. And as she presented herself, I know sometimes we struggle with our own minds and things that we have embraced. As we come into a close of this year, and as we walk into another new year, we have to be careful of what we carry over into the new year. We understand that there are things on January the 1st that we try to leave out of our minds and out of our lives and turn over a new leaf, as someone would say. But I'm here to let you know that at this time and this day, anything and everything that you're dealing with, you can release it right now and give it to Christ today.
Yes.
For we see that this woman who was standing in the midst of this home, she had within her hand and in her possession what is called an alabaster box.
Yes.
Now in Hebrew time, during that time, the alabaster box, what it held was special ointments and oils. Now we know that in the book of Proverbs, it talks about a woman who had a box called an alabaster box. And in that box, she had special oils for the things that she wanted to participate in. But this woman had a box with an ointment called spikenard. Now this spikenard was an oil that was used for burial. Amen. So when she brought this particular oil in, all she was doing was preparing Christ for his crucifixion. But I want to put a little turn in this, if you will. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody has an alabaster box.
Yes.
Now, you may not want to admit to that, but that's all right. I'm not your judge or your jury. But what I mean by an alabaster box, we all have something that we have. And I want to use as a prop, if you will, my alabaster box. Now, this box, my wife put some bling bling on it, but I'm trying to bring a point across. But this is present to you my alabaster box. And in this box, I have things in this box that I want to present to my Savior. And you have something in your box that you need to present to your Savior. Sometime during the course of life, you have been disappointed.
Yes.
You have been hurt. You've went through some sorrow.
Yes.
And you've been through some grief. For this woman at this time presented something that was so precious to her, that she wanted to give it to someone who was greater than what was inside her alabaster box. So before you go into this new year, and as you leave this old year, you need to present your alabaster box. You need to open up your alabaster box, and you need to present to your Lord and Savior. You need to present to your God and your King the things that has troubled you throughout this year of 2021. Some of us are still carrying things that happened 5 to 10 to 20 years ago. And in that process, you have locked them up into your alabaster box. And while you've been storing these things up in your alabaster box, not only has it been getting heavy, but it's probably overflowing. These things that are in your alabaster box, you don't want to tell nobody. You don't want to share with nobody. But God knows your heart. He knows your pain. He knows your disappointments. He knows your sorrow. So I'm asking you today, as you look over your life, as you look over the things that have tripped you up, made you fall, you've placed it all in your alabaster box. So what's in your alabaster box? What are the things that kept you from seeking after God? What are the things that cause you to say, Lord, I surrender all? The Bible says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, but blind, but now I see. Some of us have been disappointed. Some of us have been met with sorrow and grief. Some of us have met with this betrayal and hurt. Some of us been hurt by family members and people that are close in our lives. But I'm here to let you know that if you have been disappointed, and if you have been hurt, and if you have been in grief, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, surely he has borne our griefs and also carried our sorrows. Now, if you've been burdened down and have unforgiveness or forgiveness, in the book of 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you have been disappointed by somebody or someone in your life, remember that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Now, if you have been rejected by someone in your life, and we all been through rejection, some of the things that we're going through are in your alabaster box, and this is one of them. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of us who have no peace, walking around distressed and distraught, pulled apart from side to side. I'm here to let you know in the book of John, 14th chapter and 27th verse, peace I leave unto you, not as the world, my peace give I unto you. Some of you are overburdened and burdened down with worry, problems, and sickness and sorrow. Some of you are struggling with faith and trying to decide whether to believe or not to believe. But I'm here to let you know the back in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are lighter. Some of you need to understand that salvation is drawn nigh unto you. The book of Romans says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says in the book of James, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not and neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and then and to them who have no might, he increaseth strength. The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men, they shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew, he shall strengthen you in due time. All you got to look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. I don't know about you, but you need to open up your alabaster box and give it to the Lord. Don't carry into the new year your problems, your sorrows, and your grief. Give it to the Lord. Let him have it. Let him have it. Let him have it. Let him have it. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's just give the Lord another hand clap. Thank you, Todd. God.
Thank you.
Just a great word, very great word. We appreciate it. Boy, there's so many things. There's so many things from that message that I think are just great for us. As you would say, Todd, there's
meat on the bone.
Meat on that bone. And boy, you know, when I think of the alabaster box, first of all, I think of our beloved Sister Connie Blair, who sang that song many years ago, Sister Janice.